وآله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. So we are continuing to mention the ahadith that speaks about the virtue of Hajj and Umrah. The hadith that is narrated by Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى, حديث well-known hadith where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. A Hajj that is done righteously, in a righteous fashion, there is no reward for such an act except Jannah. Allah Ta'ala will definitely afford Jannah to a person who has performed a Hajj that is done righteously. Mabrur. So what is a Hajj that is Mabrur? Is a Hajj that is done in accordance to the law of Islam, in accordance to the Sharia, the way that the Sharia wants us to perform the way the Sharia wants us to perform the Hajj. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الحجاج والعمار وفد الله عز وجل إن استغفروه غفر لهم وإن دعوه استجاب لهم. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this second hadith that the persons who perform Hajj and those who perform Umrah, they are the special guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here there's no distinction between Hajj and Umrah. When people go on Umrah, we often think it's like a small thing. It's less than Hajj. It is less than Hajj in terms of the ibadah and the rituals that must be performed. But in terms of the sanctity, Umrah is just as sacred as Hajj. And that's why this hadith don't make a distinction. The Hujjaj and those who perform Umrah, they are all the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why in the Quran Allah says, Al-Hajju wal-Umratu lillah. Both the Hajj and Umrah should be done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam al-Shafi'i, he concludes from all of this that the Umrah is just as compulsory as the Hajj is compulsory. Umrah is not a sunnah act. This is the view of Imam al-Shafi'i. The Umrah is fard. It must be done at least once in a lifetime, just like Hajj must be done once in a lifetime for those who can afford it. So the hadith says they are the special guests of Allah. So you can imagine if you are a guest of Allah Ta'ala. Normally we are told to honor our guests, right? That is what the Prophet taught us. If somebody comes to your home, you honor him. You honor that guest. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. A person believes in Allah in the last day, let him honor his guest. This is part of Islam. Now imagine if you go on Hajj or Umrah, you are the guest of Allah. Allah is the host. Now imagine what kind of favors does Allah Ta'ala bestow upon his guests. And in this hadith, there is some mention of some of these favors. When they ask for forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala readily forgives them. This is one of the bonuses of performing Hajj and Umrah. When they seek Allah's forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala readily forgives them. And when they make dua to him, Allah Ta'ala readily responds and replies to their du'as. Allah accepts their du'as and Allah Ta'ala gives them what they want. And that is why it is a sunnah for us to not only make du'a for the people that go on Hajj and Umrah, but that we ask them to make du'a for us. This is a sunnah. Even the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this, although he is not in need of the du'as of anyone. He did this in order to teach us that when Sayyidina Umar left for Umrah, he called Sayyidina Umar and he said to him, لا تنسنا في دعائك. Don't forget us in your dua. Right? Not that you need the dua of Sayyidina Umar, but so that it become a practice for us, that when you know somebody leaving for Hajj or for Umrah, you specifically ask that person to make dua, because their dua is definitely mustajab. Then the next section, Imam al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, speaks about living in Mecca. Is it desirable for us to have a yearning to live in Makkah al-Mukarramah? Is this something that is desirable? He says, كره الخائفون المحتاطون من العلماء المقام بمكة لمعان ثلاثة. He says, some scholars that were very cautious for their faith and for their deen, they disliked for somebody to live in Mecca or to have a desire to live close to the Kaaba in Mecca itself. Not because for any reason or that it is not sacred or that it's a bad place. It's the highest place in the world. It's of the highest places, most sacred. So why does some ulama say it is best not to have a desire to live in Mecca? Why? He says there's three reasons for it. Number one, خوف الأنس بالبيت فإن ذلك ربما يؤثر في تسكين حرقة القلب
في الاحترام. He says, if a person stays in the precincts of the haram, there's a fear that a person may get used to it. And if you get used to it, then it means your heart no longer will have the same sanctity for it or the same reverence for it. And subhanAllah, we see this actually happening with people that live there, the people of the land, people that work there, people that are close to the haram. It's like ordinary for them. It's not something major to be near to the Kaaba. And this is sad because it's a very high place. It's a very sacred place. So imagine you lose that sacredness in your heart for this place, Makkah al-Mukarramah. So because of that particular reason, scholars felt that it is best not to have a desire to live in that place. The second one is الثاني تهيج الشوق بالمفارقة لتنبعث داعية العودة فإن الله تعالى جعل البيت مثابة للناس وأمناء يثوبون ويعودون إليه مرة بعد أخرى. Also to have, if you live far away from Mecca, then you will always have a yearning to go back. You will always have that love to want to go back. No matter how many times you went. The moment you come back home and you realize what you had when you were in Mecca, you immediately want to go back. You have a desire to go back. And that is something that cannot happen if you stay right there, because you see it all the time. It's like people here in Cape Town. Most people in Cape Town haven't visited the Table Mountain. People come from all over the world to visit the Table Mountain. We ourselves, we don't go to Table Mountain. It's because it's so near to us. It's like you see it every day. It's like normal. And you think to yourself, I can go anytime I want to go. I can go. So it's not such a big thing. Other people, they see it as one of the things that they must do when they are here. So in Makkah, it's the same. I've heard people say, I can go again on Hajj. I can go anytime when I want. Right? It's like there's no yearning for the place itself. So that is another reason. And the last one is, he says, الثالث الخوف من ركوب الخطايا والذنوب بها فإن ذلك يورث مقت الله عز وجل لشرف الموضع. He says, also why scholars have preferred not to live in Mecca or to have a desire to do so, is there's always the potential to commit sin in that place. And when you commit sin in Mecca, it is much greater than making sin anywhere else. Right? Just like your ibadah's worth is much more. Like if you make salah, it is multiplied so many times. Ordinary salah don't have that kind of value other way, in other places. But the same goes for sinning also. A person commits a sin in Mecca, it's not like committing a sin elsewhere. So scholars were afraid of this. And they take the direction from the Quran itself. Where Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hajj, وَمَنْ يُرِدَ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقَهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Allah says pertaining to the haram, the one who wishes to commit an act of ilhad, an act of disbelief or act of wrong, the one who wishes to do it, meaning he didn't do it yet, he wishes to do it, وَمَنْ يُرِدَ. Allah doesn't say the one who committed the act. The one who wishes to act, to do that act of ilhad and oppression and wrongdoing, Allah says, we will give him a taste of a very difficult punishment. So they take the direction from that. So even, that's why the teachers, they teach us that if you sit in the haram or you're in the precincts of the haram, even your thoughts must be clear. Because even if you think something wrong, it might Allah Ta'ala may take you to task for it, even your thoughts. Where in ordinary circumstances, we are not taken account for our thoughts, unless you act upon it. A person may have a bad thought in his mind, but then he wards it off. Allah gives him the guidance to ward it off. So he won't be taken account for his thoughts. Because thoughts is something that sometimes it runs wild. You can't control it always. But in the haram, you must control it. You must be pure. You must think of everything that you are thinking even, not only what you are saying and what you are doing. And this is the sanctity of the haram. And so the scholars that say it is not desirable to live there, it's not because of it not being a great place. It's the best place in the world, but it's because we cannot give the haq of that place. It's difficult to give the haq of that place. If a person is living right there, it becomes a norm, it becomes like easy. I've seen, and it's very sad, you see people that work in Makkah, they never make salah in the haram. They make salah in the just where they are. Even that, there was even one person that, like Fajr time, I remember my father used to wake him up. And he used to say, no, it's all right. Make salah later. He didn't even make salah on time, let alone make it in the haram. Because that is how easy it is to go off the path when you are in such a great place, but you do not give the haq of that place. And that is why scholars had said, one should not really have a desire to live there, because one will not be able to fulfill the haq and the duties of that particular place. Inshallah, the next time we speak about the virtue of Al-Madinatul Munawwara, which is also obviously a part of when we go on Hajj and Umrah, we always make it a point to visit Al-Madinatul Munawwara. So we want to speak a little bit about some of the ahadith that speaks about the virtue of Medina and why it should be visited and what makes it sacred, just as Makkah is sacred. We'll speak about that inshallah. Allah gives us understanding and tawfiq. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم واهدنا ووفقنا إلى الحق وإلى طريق مستقيم ببركة القرآن يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Allah.